This is PHP BB Weekly, episode number 134, recorded live on Saturday, January 2nd, 2010. Promotional scoffing. Hello, welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 134, for Saturday, January 2nd, 2010. I'm your co-host, Douglas Bell.
And from Washington, David Lewis, also known as Hollywood of Life.
Our resident scoffer extraordinaire. As we will eventually find out. This is Happy New Year, David.
Yes, haven't
Happy
heard
new
from
decade.
You. Haven't heard from you since last year.
Last decade, even. It's been a decade.
Last
since
decade,
we last
talked.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily been a whole decade since we last talked, but
yeah,
it's been since last decade.
Been a new decade. There you
go. Yeah.
Decade the halls, I guess we'll say. Kari, the Christmas joke's too late for him. It's after Christmas. Yeah, this is actually the start of our fourth season, which is our third anniversary. Actually, I think it's... I don't remember. Monday. Monday's our third anniversary, because officially, since the show began back in 2007. And it's, I think it's kind of mind-boggling that a show about a bulletin board has survived for 3 years.
Yeah, well, you know, it helps get better. Yeah, it helps that the bulletin board is the most popular in the world.
And that they give us stuff to talk about. No, it's going to be 2010. I think there's big debate over whether it should be 2010 or 2010. I say 2010, and the rest of my family is saying it's to be 2010. And,
yeah, it's same as what we did, you know, in the 1900s, which was, you know, you had the 1990 whatever. And the only reason that we went to 2000 and something was because it doesn't make sense to say 2001 or 20.
Yeah, that's it's not as easy to say. But now they say 2010. I say, well, you'll be saying 2063. I mean, I wasn't born in 1991.
1991.
The palindromic year. Yeah, 2010 is going to be a big year for us. We got a lot of things that we're planning on. We made some New Year's resolutions. You saw on our website. We have a revised website, which is really nice now. So if you are listening to us right now, you will be hearing us coming from on the homepage of our site now instead of the separate live page, which is really cool. PHPBB has its 10th anniversary coming up in June.
Mm-hmm.
10 years of PHPBB.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable, and so we are going to be doing something. We have no idea yet. We're going to let that marinate for a few months, but we'll be doing something really special this year. Hopefully, a couple of things special this year.
We'll definitely be doing a few things special.
We've been talking over the 2 week break we had. You know, our show kind of got in a little bit of a rut last year, partly from David. You got pulled away at the beginning of the year. And then the second half of the year, I went away and had issues, caused us to be busy and stuff. But we're going to have a very, very big year this year. So we're really excited. We are going to, without further ado, get started with our first story of the year. Yet another tool coming out of the mod team. A ModX generator, which has already had two beta releases since the last time we talked.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the PHPBB teams... prefer to work during the vacation.
Yeah, and of course, that, which is in beta 2, he's actually been continuously developing it, so it's not like UMIL or AutoMod, which was like, okay, we got a release out, now we can relax. No, actually, Jari. Jari is the Tumba.
Tumba 25,
yeah.
I always wondered about his... avatar. It's like this little, it's the Linux penguin, but he's following the little MSN butterfly.
Oh, I hadn't taken notice of that before.
Interesting.
You're right.
And he's carrying something in the background. Looks like a fly swatter.
Yes, it is a fly swatter.
I wonder what that was. At first I thought it was an ice cube. It's a fly swatter.
Oh, that's funny.
Of course, now it's MSN is out the window. Now it's all about Bing.
Yeah. So Jari, who is from Sweden, so I hope I pronounced his name correctly. It's fairly like Jari. Yeah.
Yeah, but so we're going to have to learn how to speak Chinese.
I went
through PHP Weekly's statistics for 2009 last night. The majority of our downloads come from China.
You're kidding me.
No.
Who's downloading it over there?
They beat the United States by like 2-1.
Wow. I need to look at those stats a little closer. I missed that part. Now, of course, you should tell people what you posted because people don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I went through our show statistics in 2009, and so went ahead and posted those statistics. You can find them on our forum, also tweeted about it. But just in case, I don't really look – I find it interesting to look at every once in a while, like every year. And thought, some people might be interested to know how we're doing. So we've had some pretty good statistics this over the year. But yeah, with our new – when we moved over to AWS, we were able to use a better stats service. And between August and December, we had 864 downloads from China, only 559 from the United States.
Between August and
– December.
December.
From ever since we moved to Ustream.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. All right. So that makes sense.
China is nowhere near in the top 10 in terms of website visitors. So,
yeah, I noticed that too. So that they're downloading the podcast, yet they're not visiting the website.
Maybe they're just downloading it for fun, but they're not listening. Whatever. I'm sure we have some Chinese listeners. So, ni hao, as the case may be. I spent 10 days in China.
Okay.
It looks like San Francisco, except that instead of fog, it's smog. But it does look a lot like San Francisco all day.
That's pretty funny, actually.
All right, we were talking about the ModX generator.
Yeah, so the ModX generator, which Jari has been working very hard on, this is a command line tool for mod authors, mostly right now. He says that a GUI will actually come later. So that you can actually run the tool from your browser or something. Mm-hmm. But right now, you would run it from command line. And basically what it does is that you would essentially, assuming you already do this, you would develop your mod or plugin or whatever it is that you're doing on a PHPBB3 installation. On your local host, and it would be a clean PHPBB3, like a 3.0.6 installation. That would be the what you would be developing on.
Yeah.
And then once you're finished with the entire mod, coding it and everything, then you get another PHPBB3 installation, a fresh one that's exactly the same version. Mm-hmm. And then what you would do is you would dump them into the command, and he's got the commands laid out so you can see what each one does. Dump each directory into the command line, and then it will spit out a modx file that contains all of the defines and replaces and the add afters and the before adds and all that stuff, all the files that you need to copy over, the files that you need to, all the edits. Uh-huh. And the file copying, all that is automatically generated. So then you can put that file into the ModX generator that's on the site.
Creator.
The ModX creator, I should say, yeah. That's on the phpbb.com website. And then you can finish all the rest of the details, such as mod author name, website, any commands that you need to run, that sort of thing. You just have the metadata there. So it really makes generating ModXs a whole lot easier between the creator and the generator there. It'll be really, really nice for a lot of mod authors.
Now, I was wary of asking this question for a few days, but I went and asked the question because I didn't understand what was the difference between this and the ModX creator. The only thing I could easily tell was that the ModX generator was a command line version of the ModX creator. It was then Jari responded rather quickly, actually, within 15 minutes, and explained how the generator compared the two directories. So essentially, it's like a fancy diff tool that outputs the diff in a ModX file.
Exactly.
Ready to go.
And the mod And the ModX creator, which it doesn't do that. It takes all your manual entries.
Yeah. As you described, David, you could take the generated ModX file, put it in the creator in order to, you know, tweak any of the find replaces you want to, or, of course, add author notes, this, that, all the other fun stuff. And he, as he said, as Jari said on the forum, they complete each other. And I said, "Oh, that's cute." Hollywood agent on the phone.
Now, of course, Jari also, you know, he created both the generator and the creator. And boy, he's been doing a lot of work in that area. That's been something that the PHPBB mod team has been lacked, having really good ModX generator tools. Yes. Until Jari has come on and fixed that problem.
Absolutely. So is there right now? This is based on the shell or command line or terminal. You do have to have. I assume it. Therefore, it expects you to have PHP installed. So I take it this is more of a thing for if you're running on a localhost type of thing. I know David used MAP, the Mac Apache MySQL PHP setup, right?
Well, yeah, and you know, Macintosh has a PHP CLI installation on it, yeah. So that's what it runs off of, which is different than MAMP. You know, I can have my MAMP off and still run this tool. And so basically, if you do not have PHP Apache running on your operating system, you know, at least in a CLI version or something, or no, I guess it would not be Apache, but so if you have PHP CLI, you need to make sure that that's installed on your computer before you can actually run this tool.
I haven't actually used that since my mod team days when I had to, you know, install PHPBB2 about 8 times a week.
Mm-hmm. I think the easiest way to tell if you actually have it installed or not is to type in PHP into your command line, and it should output something. And if it says command not found, then you probably do not have the CLI version installed. Mm-hmm.
How long do you think we'll be till we can see a GUI version of this?
I have no idea. In my personal opinion, a GUI is not needed for this kind of tool because it's like running a diff, you know, which you can run from the command line. It's very simple to use and run. For example, you would open up your command line. You would type in PHP and the path to the file, to the command file from this generator, and then you would do the command for the first directory and drag in the directory, and the command for the second directory and drag in the directory, and then the file name of the ModX file, and that's it. That's all you have to do. And then when you hit enter, it'll take a couple of minutes depending on how many changes there are. I actually kind of load tested it. I dumped in the entire Star Trek guide PHPBB3 directory.
Oh boy, we have the best tool to create fully modded PHPBB installations.
Well, at least it will create the diffs for
the ModX for
yeah, for sure.
Stick it in auto mod, you can have your fully modded board right away. No, this is actually really nice because the way it worked, because of how it does it by comparing it to an existing installation. Of course, you can. Do a standard ModX package by comparing it to a vanilla 3.0.6 installation. Mm-hmm. But you could also use these to be able to quickly make like upgrade scripts for different versions of your mod. Just install the old version on the old one, the new version on the new one, and you can have it spit out like upgrade scripts. Because I remember I spent so much time as a mod author managing upgrade scripts between different versions.
Yeah, certainly. And because of the changes within ModX, which allow these external files, you know, you can make here's an external file to the upgrade script from, you know, the version 1 of this mod to the version 2. So, and of course, this tool makes it a whole lot easier. This is, you know, it's pretty much a lot like generating a diff file from command line. If you were to generate a diff file, which many mod authors have done to see the changes, that's what I used to do. I went, I just dump in both directories and pull out a diff.
Usually, you modify PHPBB by hacking it. You don't really have a predefined plan.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes it's hard to go in and pull out all the individual changes. And, you know how I am. I want to make as few modifications to the PHP 3 core as possible. So, but, you still have files here and there and usually avoiding file edits and there's more inserts, but you still want an easy way to find exactly where those are and to get the finds for them and stuff like that. And this is a great way to do that. And there's a lot of parameters that you can specify. You can also open up the little config file in there and specify the parameters in there, like how many lines of find you want to use. I think the default is a little bit big. The finds are a little bit chunky, but they do that to ensure that the finds are absolutely unique. So, it certainly has its merit.
You can tweak them. Like I've always been a big believer in use of partial searches.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you minimize the risk of having incompatibilities with other mods. I mean, the downside is when you do partial searches, in my experience, you have to comment the heck out of them so people understand that it's a partial search when you're doing complicated inline and stuff. But if you're doing something like AutoMod, partial searches is great because then you really minimize the chance of running into problems with multiple mods.
Right. What I usually do is I'll pull out a line. I make sure I insert when I'm creating the mod initially, I look at the code that I've got to insert my function into, and I go, okay, where can I put this that will be the best place, the easiest for someone to do it? So I might do like I might see a line of code in there and say, okay, that is a completely unique one line of code. That's probably not going to be edited. I'm going to put my line before or after that, and it makes it easier for the editor if they are doing it by hand. Of course, AutoMod, doing it all automatically, does make it quite a bit easier to do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But
so the ModX generator, for the command line, it is different from the ModX creator, but they complete each other. So, as a side note, so I wanted to ask briefly, this does say that the files produced with this tool can only be installed using this latest Subversion version of AutoMod, which is revision 206 or later, which just begs the question, since it has been since last June that we saw a art release candidate of AutoMod be released, I have any idea why it's taking so long or if there'll be another RC coming out soon?
I do not have any idea. I know that... Jelladonut works on AutoMod, and I don't know if he's been doing a lot of stuff on it recently. I know that I did subscribe to the AutoMod. I believe the AutoMod repository is in there. Let me just double check. The code.phpvb.com. Yes, AutoMod is in there, and I have not seen any activity from him in a while, but... Oh, I must not be applied because about 17 hours ago, he did commit something to the trunk.
Okay.
So,
This is a great tool, but I would not recommend that mod authors use it at the very least until a released version of AutoMod is able to handle the files. Because otherwise, it'll release a mod and only Subversion geeks will be able to use it. So, we'll have to keep an eye on that. But no, generator's still in beta anyway, so you probably shouldn't be using it for production level stuff quite yet.
Yeah, not a whole lot of changes in the activity, but there are. You know, he has been committing some stuff here and there. Actually, it's not too bad, really. Between today and the 1st of December, there have been 8 commits.
Okay.
So, progress is being made slowly but surely, but progress is definitely being made on it.
Well, we hope we'll see something coming out of them soon. So, but we'll keep a close eye. The ModX generator, sounds a lot of fun. I wonder what's going to be next. The ModX coffee maker? Oh, wait, David, that's yours.
No ModX coffee maker. Definitely a coffee mod. Oops. With a USB line spout.
We'll see. You've been listening to the Best Of episode, haven't you? Our main topic for today, though, we're going to talk a little bit of looking at building a successful community. This is our old series that we started in late 2008, and it's been pretty much on the sidelines for most 2009, but thought I'd get back into it. We're going to talk a little bit about promoting your community, and more importantly, promoting your community in ways that do not count as spam. Don't want to be seen. I was guilty of this. When I had communities back in 2005, I had about 3 different communities. They all failed because I overmodded them to the point of disaster. But that's where the name Fountain of Apples comes from. It was my very first ever community. It lasted about 8 days.
8 days, oh my goodness.
But that's how I registered on .com, and they wouldn't let me change my username. So it's now it's ingrained, so there you go. But promoting your community. Now, we love Patrick O'Keefe's book, which we talked about for almost 2 years now, Managing Online Forums, Everything You Need to Know to Create and Run Successful Community Discussion Boards. And so he has a whole chapter on promoting your community. We'll lift some ideas off of that. But I also wanted, David, since you actually have an active community, what's some of your experience?
With promoting the community, well, first of all, I was just pulling out the Managing Online Forums Patrick O'Keefe book, which I always have stashed right here next to my desk.
That's what I got here.
And I sneezed about 3 or 4 times just to the dust, you know. TMI. I haven't picked it up in a while. with Starter Guide, it was kind of interesting, of course, the fact that Starter Guide started out as a Star Trek site, but never actually made it into a Star Trek Guide. Instead, we were a PHPPB site. And why did that happen? Because of the way we promoted it. Promoted it as a PHPPB site in the beginning, which was, you know, come help us test PHPPB. Form software to try and get it released as beta, and then we started doing mods. We started really being involved in the mod community, and you know, we'd see a missing feature, we'd go develop it. So we had a lot of mods in development well before the release of the first RC, let alone the third beta. We already had mods going. So
yeah,
but it was
a nice little advantage actually, because Star Trek Guide, you guys were supporting mods before .com was, and so that really was a great way for you to sort of get a community for the early PHP3 modders.
Yeah. Also, basically on Area 51, there was a lot of restrictions as far as basically what we could talk about or what we could say. For example, here's a good example: the word "quick reply." If you used it, it was censored.
Uh huh.
Automatically.
Yeah.
They were so against even the mention of quick reply back then. That was 2007. It was 2000 and oh gosh, help me out here, Douglas. When was that? The first beta of PHP 3. 2006.
June 2006. I was still on the teams then.
Okay. Yeah. 2006 and. So between 2006 and 2009, 3 years, that's how long it took them to finally go, okay, let's do a quick reply.
There you go. Well, so, we've talked about that. Okay, my experience, what I did to try to promote my forums was kind of dumb. Not entirely, but I went on a number of related sites. That was back when I was, I was a real Mac geek, Macintosh geek, and so that's what the forums I had were about. I was pretty much trying to imitate other similar forums, but I wanted to have my own. I went on other forums, registered, and then just posted things in their thing saying, hey, come check my site out. Well, guess what? That counts as spam. That is pretty much spam. Now, it's not as bad as it could be. For example, there are people who will sign up, and then they'll try to send people private messages, instant messages, emails, all this stuff asking you to join people to join the site, which is also that's even worse because that's even more intrusive than just posting something on their board. But it really looks bad if you're registering and then posting, go join my site. I mean, it's another thing if you've been like a long time member of a community, you're pretty well known there, and then you want to give a mention, say, hey, I have a new site, you want to come check it out. That's a little better. I could probably get away with that on Star Trek Guide because I've been on there for about 2 years now. But I couldn't get away with that if you had no idea who I was, and it was, you know, the very first day I registered, and who's this WebMax87 guy promoting some forum that he has? That's spam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on both on PHPV.com and Star Trek Guide, usually we would instantly ban those people.
Yeah. Now, I never got instantly banned, but it did get kind of,
Well, you were probably you have to remember, though, that a lot of the people that we see do that are usually bot spammers.
Yeah.
So if we can tell that it's a human, we will. And you know, they're actually a legitimate communicator. You know, they're not. You know, if they,
you do kind of have a space on your forum for many people to introduce themselves, and they can mention that as well. But
mm-hmm.
I think
that is where we get the most of our spam, though, because you know, I don't know if they have bots or people just go there, and what they end up doing is just posting something stupid and completely irrelevant, even to a hello, how are you, and they have their signature will mm-hmm. be spam links.
Yeah,
and fortunately, we do have an edit time limit on posts that prevent people from going back and editing posts later to contain spam links. Mm-hmm. But
one thing I do think is on that line. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with promoting your site and your signature. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the best ways you could get people on any site, because I actually get this tip from a book about how to promote your blog. Mm-hmm. Is go on other sites, use the fact that you have a URL, but if you are an active participant there, if you contribute interesting thoughts, and if people kind of like what they see you writing, the chances are they will try to follow you, find those links, and go back to the other site. So it's sort of, it's not active promotion, it's passive promotion, in that you
yes.
yourself can be the vehicle through which there is promotion in a passive sense. And get
yes,
people interested.
It does require some time commitment by you, but it is one of the best ways. It is the primary way that Start Your Guide actually received initial traffic.
Yeah.
You know, we had it in our signatures, all our staff members and whatnot, and we still do, and we still get a lot of traffic from those kinds of links. And you know, so it helps a whole lot when people read something that you said and are like, wow, you know, that's a really good post, a really thoughtful, good post, you know, and they're kind of looking at, you know, what information that you have, and they see your site and your signature, and it looks interesting, and they go there, and all of a sudden you have a new member.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely one of the best ways to do it. The downside, of course, there's always a con. There's pros and cons. So the con is that it does take time. You know, you have to go and you have to participate in those communities to do it. But it's a small sacrifice because you're not paying, right? You know, the other way to do it, the other way to possibly market or promote your community would be to pay for ads. Well, this is a great way to do that, and it doesn't cost you anything. But you do have to, you know, right, if you do contribute. You know, if you don't contribute anything useful, I can guarantee you people won't be visiting your links.
Yeah, and I would say that's, you really got to be able to do that. PHP BB Weekly is kind of, you know, the mystery of how this happened. I did about 1 month. I took a banner ad out on phpbb.com. This was actually the old phpbb.com. It was like right before they went to the new site, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Took out a banner ad. I don't know how many people actually came. I don't think it was that many. Quite frankly, David, I don't know how you found me. I know it was you that found me.
Yes.
Because you contacted me about wanting to, you know, maybe help out with the show on the site. That is where we got so many more listeners on the show from that. And of course, later adding you as co-host because you actually knew your stuff. That really helped as well. You kind of had people behind you. But I got very, very few, if any, people coming from advertisements. And that's why I only kept it for about a month. Because when you get people on advertisements, first of all, people are so used to advertisements now, chances are they're not going to click at all.
Mm-hmm.
If they do click, it might be because they see something interesting and they happen mm-hmm. to notice it. But even then, how many people that click are actually going to stick around?
Mm-hmm. You know, I have clicked on advertisements and actually stuck around on sites before.
You're rare. I have never, ever, ever.
I rarely
click on advertisements, and even then, it's usually just, okay, I just charged the guy buying the ad some money, and bye-bye.
Occasionally, I've seen an ad and gone, you know, I don't want to make that guy pay for me seeing his ad, and I might not stay to his site. No, I actually go type it in the URL. But the way that I found you was your signature. You had a link to PHPBB Weekly in there, and it looked interesting. So I followed the link in your signature to PHPBB Weekly, listened to a podcast, and thought, you need help. So... No, actually, that's
it's
not what
funny
I,
because it's true.
I didn't think that initially. I saw, and of course, this was before I was on the mod team. And,
oh yeah, you joined the mod team a month after you joined the show. I got you first.
Yeah, in fact, being on the show was a small concern for a few people because they knew that, you know, adding somebody to the teams that has, in you know, that basically you're privy to a lot of information that you're not supposed to leak.
And I remember that.
Being on a podcast makes it really, really easy to accidentally say something you're not supposed to.
Well, and David, that's how I got my first listeners on the show, because I started the show only about 4 months after I left the teams, so I was still kind of in that little zone where I still knew stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That because they don't they still don't want you to reveal stuff even after you're off a team. Obviously, now I don't know anything because I've been gone for 3.5 years. But I was still the part where they knew stuff, so that's where I got my first listeners to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Team members making sure I didn't spill anything. And that's why I would get, you know, regular corrections and stuff from when I messed something up. So
they probably still listen to the show, making sure I don't accidentally spill something either.
Yeah, I think
deliberately.
I think now they listen to it because they kind of like it, but or they have no life.
I hope so. Anyway,
we already knew we don't have no life. They're team members. Go ahead.
Yes, I got mine back when I left. You got yours back when you left too.
Oh no, kidding! I've got no life because of other things. Go on.
Yeah. Well, so that's you know, the signature is obviously where I found you, and then I listened to a podcast and went, hi, like, you know, yeah, I had Star Trek Guide, so I have a PHPB related community, and I thought it would be interesting.
There's potential to be a here.
So that's how I pursued it, and it was, you know, and then when I actually joined you as a co-host, then I started promoting it on Star Trek Guide, and then that was nice too. So there was a way for you to promote PHPBB Weekly, was to get a co-host. Yeah.
And this is actually, it was one of the Patrick's suggestions, you know, a partnership. I think it's absolutely great that there's a partnership going on between our sites. And quite frankly, it's definitely helped this show. And I'm sure it's probably given some more traffic over to Star Trek Guide as well. especially with, you know, being able to share a forum is one example. I didn't want to start up a whole other forum just about the podcast, because there's already places to talk about PHPBB. One forum on Star Trek Guide works great. It's already not active enough as it is. We're going to work on that this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get a partnership with other sites, that is absolutely awesome, and it really does allow you to share communities and have even more exposure of both brands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he actually
Douglas O'Keefe. Okie dokie.
Yeah, Patrick O'Keefe. Okay,
welcome to PHPB Weekly. I'm Douglas O'Keefe.
That's what 4 hours of sleep will do for you.
Joining me is my co-host, Patrick Lewis. Go on.
You
sorry,
know,
Patrick, we love you.
One of the things that he talks about is how important it is to prepare your community for search engines. And that's been extremely important for Search Guide, because you have, you know, we, of course, had the initial community and a lot of the mod community between phpbmodders.net and Star Trek Guide. Those were the two main modding communities. Of course, you had the PHPBB hacks, but that was, I think there was a lot of people moving from that a little bit. It was starting to get a little bit older. And
they didn't really go completely PHPBB 3 until a little bit closer to the time PHPBB.com were. So.
Right. So if
the
people wanted to.
Picking up, they're pretty much still on the 2 side. They're more
right,
three
exactly.
Now, but they're still using a 2 forum, so.
Right, so I think when people wanted to be more up to date with 3.0, you know, that's where they either went to phpbbmodders.net or they went to StarTrekGuide.com, and so that's how we built our initial community, was the fact that our two sites, Modders and Star Trek Guide, were the main modding community for 3.0 before 3.0 was 3.0. Now what I mean by that is phpbb.com was still 2.0.x, and you know, they didn't really have a modding community. You had Area 51 where you could discuss development and things like that, but there was a lot of restrictions. You couldn't really discuss mods, and you know, mm-hmm. So people needed somewhere to go, and so that's how we
filling a need.
We saw a need and we filled it, and that's how we built our community. We just had to make sure we reached those people that you know, were filling that, you know, they felt the need for that kind of community. And our job was to find those people and be able to tell them about, you know, find a way to get them to Star Trek Guide.
And this is how Patrick talks about, he has a site about karate. He knows nothing about karate. He says he knows nothing about karate. He does not do karate, but he started a forum about karate because he thought it'd be interesting. And people who are interested in karate and love talking about it came and contributed a lot. And so that, there you go. And, you know, even for me, who knew if there was a real need for a podcast about PHBBB? Well, and quite frankly, I don't even know a lot about PHBBB3 these days. I haven't used it in a few years. But there's people who are interested in it, people like you, David, who can bring expertise to it, and other team members. And so it succeeds because it turns out there was a need for it. And if there wasn't, well, then this show would have been over a long time ago.
Yeah, obviously that's the most important thing into building the community itself, is to actually see a need and fill the need. But then, of course, you won't get anywhere unless you're able to promote it, or actually not only to fill the need, but find the people who are looking for that. You know, and that's important.
Let's go to some other suggestions. One of the suggestions is a little bit about search engine optimization. Now, David, I know you know a lot about search engine optimization. I don't want to get into a whole description of it. But certainly, looking at the stats I posted yesterday, I had no idea about this, but 54% of the visitors we had on this show last year, David, came from search engines.
Mm-hmm.
And that surprised me. I've not guessed how many came from search engines, usually looking for stuff like PHPBB this, PHPBB that. And actually, that's something that is some suggestions here. If you try to do stuff on your site that will put you sort of in places where people looking for related things will be. And so even if things like the site name, PHPBB Weekly, it explains that, we talk about PHBBB and we do the show weekly. Don't do something that has nothing to do with what you talk about, like, for example, StarTrekGuide.com, which has absolutely nothing to do with what they talk about all the time, which is
a genuine example of what not to do, right?
Exactly. Epic fail. That's why you also have PHPBBacademy.com.
Yes, and so people are clear on exactly why that happened. We actually tried to change the name 3 times.
And one wanted to do it.
And the community stopped us. They said, no.
Star Trek Guide.
You like the name. We don't want to change it. And they couldn't go to something like PHPBB Academy. That just didn't – I don't know. It just didn't fit for them. So we either need to come up with a name that doesn't have PHPBB in it, or just have to stick with Star Trek Guide. But – I was thinking, the SEO, search engine optimization, when people think about that, they think about the URLs. That's not what it is. Search engine optimization is anything that you can do to improve the ability for your site to be searched by search engines. Yeah. And then once you can, once it's spidered by the search engines, then people actually find it. 56% of the traffic from Star Trek Guide is made up of search engines, so it's not only a huge part. I mean, only 30% of our traffic is from referring sites.
Yeah.
So you have a difference between the search
8% for the show.
Right. Yeah. So the search engine is actually the most important source of traffic for your site. Usually,
that really kind of caught me by surprise when I was looking yesterday. Out of the top 10 pages on our site, like 4 of them were tags. For blogs, you can have these things called tags, little keywords that you come up with. And a few days ago on my Twitter, I posted, I hate tags, because you have to come up with, you have to think of them on the top of your head. You don't always get them right. Sometimes you have a plural version, sometimes you don't. This, that, you sometimes will not have tags you thought were right. And I was like, I really would like to stop using tags now. Then I saw the stats yesterday, and I saw, wait a minute. Most of the hits we're getting from search engines are because of our tags.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding our tags, these little things that I just randomly come up with on the top of my head that I think might have to do with an episode. Different from week to week, but that's how they're finding us. So, as much as I hate them, they are keywords. And mm-hmm. that's how search engines find you. And darn it. I'm going to have to keep doing tags. So.
Yeah.
But that's an example. Just, you know, search engines are actually your friend.
Yes, they are. That's obviously the most important source of traffic. So make sure content is, of course, extremely important. If you don't have established some content or an interesting community, if it's just sort of like a chat community where you just sort of chat about stuff,
and you've got to be proactive about it. I mean, if you we've talked about before, you don't have to start out with a gazillion forums. Start with a few, but mm-hmm. If you don't have people there yet, you should start up a couple of conversation things to get people to participate. And that's kind of the realization. When I started this show, originally I had the thought that it'd be like a call-in talk show on, mm-hmm. and people would call in to get support from PHPBB, and I'd offer support over the podcast as a call-in. But I kind of quickly realized that, you know, no one's going to call in at the first show. If I'm going to have an actual show, I'm going to have to talk about something, and I'm going to have to prepare mm-hmm. stuff and this and that. And so that's how it kind of became a content-driven show, because mm-hmm. you gotta have content to get people to actually listen.
Yes, indeed you do. People won't stay if there isn't content. So, I mean, you can do all this promotional work and all this all this marketing and stuff and links and you've got yourself optimized for search engines and whatnot. But if you don't have content, people will not stay. If you don't make it interesting for people, they won't stay. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm talking about search engine optimization. That's part of it, is if you don't have content that is really searchable, people won't find you. But if you don't have content that is actually interesting and constantly changing and constantly engaging people, then people won't stay either. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Some other ideas. This is actually one we've done a little bit. Contests and giveaways. They do work. They generate interest. If you have something special going on, mm-hmm. then you actually may get some other people to participate. Now they're not, these are kind of like advertisements. It might get people to participate that may just be there for the contest and not stick around, but there's also the chance that in the process of them getting involved in a contest or giveaway, they may start to like what you're doing and stick around. We've done some of these through our show in 2008. We didn't do anything last year. We're going to do a little bit more this year. But, like our Birdie Mons, which got Scoff News happening, which mm-hmm. got a lot of people on Star Trek Guide, interested in Birdie Mons. And then, I mean, I don't know if that increased any more interest in our show, but it wasn't really a giveaway. It was more of a for fun thing. But but there are examples of contests, contests and stuff.
Here's a funny thing. Look at the capture competition from phpbb.com for users submitting the captures, and they had, what, four submissions?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, they probably wouldn't have had any if they didn't do that particular contest. But absolutely. That kind of contest was still so. It was still like, okay, yeah, I want a birdie, but a lot of people are like, okay, I don't know how to make that kind of plugin. I'm not a programmer.
It's niche. We had, we had Igor on the show briefly, and he said, he did a crazy one, proof of concept, really. It was not a capture you're really going to want to use on your site, unless you have a bunch of mathematicians on your site with PhDs. But as you said, doing a good capture is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the fact they had five is, I think, pretty good. And hopefully we'll get some more.
Yeah, but you said capture, but I think you meant contests.
Okay, capture contest, whatever. But they had five captures, so that's about right.
Yeah.
But that's it's an idea. It's an idea. We'll probably talk sometime in the future a little bit more about good ideas. Maybe do an idea exchange. I don't know. If any of the listeners have done good contest giveaways, you can let us know how you did. This is an interesting idea. I haven't heard of this. Maybe you heard of this, David. One on
I'm on page 110 of his book. Post exchanges and paying people to post.
Really bad idea, in my opinion. You know, I know he talks about it here, you know, but, you know, he's talking about how to basically, if you want to generate an instant community, and he said, if you choose to pay people to post or to exchange posts, make sure that each account is created for a real person, and that is better than creating a bunch of different user accounts and talking to yourself.
Well, that's true.
You know, it's certainly one way to sort of, you know, that basically what he's saying is, you know, that's a way to jumpstart your community. Well, that's true, but I don't know. I'm just not a fan of that because it's not real content. It's not, you know, you're generating fake content because you're telling people what, you know, what to do. And, you know, your site should be filling a niche and should be in need for something. And you should, for a lot of really successful communities, they started out with a group of people who were interested in something and said, you know what, let's start a community so we can talk about this. And they started, you know, they start a community and it starts small and then grows larger and larger and larger. You know, Starchy Guide started out with only about 4 or 5 forums. And now we've got 125. On that. Oh, no, it's actually not quite that many. It was 100. It was like 103 or something like that. And I recently trimmed it down to 85. People don't see most of what's on there. A lot of them are private forums and whatnot because we have a lot of projects that are in the workings. Lots of irons in the fire. But you know, with Starter Guide, obviously we didn't do any of that. We didn't pay anybody to post or do post exchanges or anything like that. That is certainly a way to do it. I think free forums. There's a lot of free forum sites out there that are like, okay, for us to provide you this free hosting service, in return, you have to post a certain number of posts on our forums, and as long as you maintain this quota of posts on the forum, that you can keep your free forums account running. So you sort of had these exchanges, you know, when in the free forums, they wanted a community of people posting, and the people posting want free hosting, so they sort of complement each other in that way. But the con of that, you know, there's always a pro and a con.
You're not getting good quality posts. We have people posting just because they have to.
Exactly. It's not sincere, good people really trying to contribute stuff. It's not you don't end up with that. So you end up with a lot of really poor quality, a lot of people posting just because they feel like they have to. That's the only way that they can get something good.
You're the kind of person that likes, you know, free ego boosts. This might be a good idea for you. But if you want to have a very quality community, then you might not want to do this. This is a good idea, and this is something that I try to do on our show as much as possible. If you've seen our website, let your users promote you. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, this is the whole word of mouth advertising type of idea. You know, if you have users who really like you, then have a page of ideas on how you can do that. Now, a lot of sites do things like referral credits, and they try to, and which is an idea, sort of incentivize referring other users to the site is one idea. For our show, I'm going to find on our promote page a out-of-date 30-second promo. If any of you have a podcast out there, I have to update that. But there's little images. There's even ways to embed the show on other sites. Links mentioned on social networks. If you have, you know, Star Trek Guide, you have Star Trek Guide on Twitter and Facebook, PHP Weekly on Twitter and Facebook. Those are also ideas for trying to get your name out there. It's still your own space, but it's in other sort of ecospheres, which people can more easily discover you and then get back to your main site. Get your users to, you know, tweet about you, post about you, share it. I mean, but not when I say get your users, as it's not we're trying to make you do it. It's more of we're offering a page of ideas and tools that can help you do it. But it's still entirely the users that are recommending it. Say, I joined Star Trek Guide. I think, you know, you do a lot of PHPBB3 mods. You'd probably learn something from it, so you should go check out Star Trek Guide. Or, I love listening to PHPBB Weekly. They offer a lot of advice. You should check it out. And it's entirely on the user's end, not on your end. So, mm-hmm. that's really one of the best ways of promoting yourself. It's
certainly the most effective.
Yeah, absolutely.
When your users can promote you, when they say, okay, this site was really interesting, I have to tell people about it, or when something comes up in a discussion elsewhere, and they said, oh, there's this other site that does that sort of thing, or that handles that, this and that, and that it's the word of mouth. It's like word of mouth, and that is the number one most effective form of marketing and promotion that there is. You can buy advertisements and TV spots and radio spots and billboards and post in other communities and all this stuff like that. But it's the word of mouth that is the most effective form of promotion and marketing and stuff like that.
Absolutely. So, I think most of all, this is something I've learned. I think it's patience. Mm-hmm. I never had patience with any of my forms. Mm-hmm. I wanted it now, and it didn't happen. I was like, I'm not going to waste my time on this. Go away. But I think one of the reasons that this podcast became successful was patience. And I actually almost, about 3 weeks on the third episode, I thought, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore. I don't see any benefits coming from it, and I kind of went away. I stayed a little later at school, came back home about 20 minutes after the show would have started. So I comment on my blog, why didn't this start today? What happened? And I said, oh, wow, someone's actually listening and wants to hear it? Okay. I started the show late that day. I started the show, did it, I was already prepared. I just kind of gave up, and from there, I pretty much kept going. Now, it took a really long time to get a sizable chunk of listeners, and that really started happening when another site syndicated us, and then Star Trek Guide came along, and you started syndicating in a way. I use syndicate, sort of, so to speak, and that really started getting going. Mm-hmm. And we're now in the having about 1,000 downloads a month or so, but which is pretty good compared to early on. But I think you really have to have patience. You have to be putting out good content. You have to be very proactive at this. Mm-hmm. Your best way to promote is to not try to promote. The best way to promote is to do good things on your own site. Work on getting your own house built, and people will come. People will eventually come.
Yeah, and it's true that and thinking about Start to Guide in the early days, for several months there, we would have, I think I remember specifically getting excited when we actually crested about 20 posts in a week. And it was just a matter of patience. We knew there wasn't a lot of members. We didn't generate any artificial members. We didn't do any outside promotion. We only posted on Area 51. That meant that the only way really that you found Star Trek Guide was Area 51 in the beginning. And then eventually you could find it also on Google. But Area 51, that was it. If you're a member of Area 51 you and active, you might be able to see our link, and that was how you went there. So based on that small amount of promotion, it started out slow, and yeah, we had patience because we weren't in a hurry. We weren't trying to be the biggest forum on earth. I think that's really important. You have to have really realistic expectations. And without those realistic expectations, you're never going to really achieve the goals that you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And we've grown throughout the years, and then eventually now we started out as like, okay, wow, we really got excited. It was like over 20 posts in 1 week. Yay! When you clicked on the active topics, there was actually 20 posts there. And now we get now we average probably around 80 posts a day or so. But before. We would sometimes get about 150 to 200 posts a day in our really really high times. Right now it's a lot slower than it used to be. And I was thinking on that, I went and looked at the Google Analytics for the site, and since installing 3.0.6, our visitors have actually dropped off significantly. Now, do you know why?
Because
people are syndicating the site now.
Oh, with feeds.
The feeds, yeah. It's kind of interesting. Before, if you wanted to read the content, you would have to go to the board and navigate around and actually go and you know, go read topics now.
Jimmy in the chat room said because of Quick Reply. No, Quick Reply had only reduced the number of page views.
Yes, yeah.
Not only, the number of visits.
Yeah, and so now people, you know, like for example, for me, I can just I have the entire forum feed syndicated right into my mail application. So then I read all the posts from there, and then I'm like, okay, there's nothing to reply to. I won't actually visit the site.
Oh well.
And if there is something to reply to, then I can just go directly to that post, reply, and then that's it.
Now you've got to sign up for a Google Feed Burner.
I do have a Google Feed Burner, but the problem on phpbb.com, and I'll talk about that in a second. But
we don't have much time left. I have to start wrapping this up.
Okay, so the feed burner on google.com, the problem with it is that it doesn't have a session, or at least any logged in session, so it can only see what guests see, whereas the mail.app reads the same cookies from your Safari installation, I believe.
Someone's going to have to write a mod to support 3.06 feeds with FeedBurner.
Yeah, yes. We actually talked about that in the development forum, and they said, that's not going to be possible without a GUI, and they didn't want to put a GUI in with 3.0.7. So,
yes. Well. Overall, I would. My also other recommendation. I guess it's not as applicable for forums because you'll know how many people are there. Personally, I really never check the statistics on the show. I mean, last night was kind of weird. Now you can hear the whole time I'm thinking about, oh wow, we have people in China. We have this. We have this. We have this. You know what? Don't check the statistics on your show that often. I mean, you can look at them every so often to see what's working, but I think it works a lot better when you kind of put it out of your mind that 1,000 people are listening to you on a podcast, for example.
I actually disagree, and here's why. Because statistics can be a great way to see what's working and what's not. Okay, so if I go to my statistics and I go to visits and I see that, for example, we're getting a lot of hits from this one specific site. For example, phpbb.com. I see that most people are coming from there. That means I either am more active there, or the people there are more interested in my community. So what do I need to do in response to seeing that stat? I need to go and spend more time posting there so that I can get more people drawn in and more people come to the site. So the traffic sources, that's an excellent stat to be able to see. And Google Analytics, you should install Google Analytics on your site.
Absolutely, have that, definitely.
Yeah, and view it often so you can see, okay, so people are searching for this. I can see that people are searching for PHPBB3 mods. 0.5% of our visits come from the search term PHPBB3 mods. 0.5% of our visits. Jesus, that's not very many. But actually, that's one of the most popular search terms. Truth is, we get tons of search terms, and that's the most popular. But
we differ in opinion. I don't like to look at the stats that much.
Yeah, so stats is a great way to see what is working and what isn't. What kind of things that you need to change, or it's like if you're doing a lot of marketing on this one site, you're not getting any traffic from it. You need to stop doing that and pursue one of the other methods that's actually bringing you a good amount of traffic. So spend your time there instead. Statistics, I think people need to view them a lot. I know it's kind of nice to be surprised at the end of the year and go, oh, wow, that's how we did, and if you don't really care, then
it was kind of fun.
Sure, that's fine. It is kind of fun to do that, but at the same time, if you're really trying to do marketing and promotion for your site, then I think the statistics and viewing them often is really important.
Okay. Let's start to wrap up. We do have a premiere in a little bit of the newest Scoff News episode, and we also have an exciting announcement about what's going to happen next week, but let's get to our first few things first. We have but last year we started a poll question of the week. We did this last year. It didn't really go very far, and so we're going to try something different this time. Now, part of the reason to go far was we were using PollDaddy.com, which is it was a little iffy on its integration with our website. But mm-hmm. also, I think because though I had fun coming up with answers, it was sort of a not an open-ended type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do something a little bit more germane to the whole PHPBB experience starting this year. And also, it'll something to get, you know, some more interest in our forum. We have, you know, a PHPBB weekly podcast forum at StarTrekGuide.com. It's going to be a discussion question of the week. What's going to happen, we're going to pose an open-ended question on each episode of our show related to what we talked about during the show. It will be posted as a new topic, stickied, in the podcast forum on Star Trek Guide. And we just want, and it's just another topic to talk about. And just want to get your, go ahead, anyone who wants to, post, you do have to be a member of Star Trek Guide, but post a reply, have a discussion on the topic, the discussion question of the week. And then on next week's show, we will go back, look back on last week's discussion question and pin and acknowledge some of the more interesting responses. So it's a little bit more open-ended. It's more all for you to discuss. It's you guys know how to do it. It's just like having a discussion on any forum. So this week's discussion question of the week is, what strategies would you recommend for promoting a community? So if you have any, you know, experience promoting your community with PHPBB or any other website, really, if you have any comments or suggestions, go ahead, head over to the topic. It will be in our forum within an hour or two after the live show is done. Submit your feedback, and the more interesting posts we will be acknowledging on next week's show. So it's a new segment this year. Hope it is a little bit more interactive and interesting than the poll question from last year. We said, well, for the mod of the week, last year when the word came out that there would be a quick reply built into 3.0.6, we pretty much knew that there would, that this would be something that would be modified, extended for people who wanted more functionality than just the bare bones quick reply editor that came with 3.0.6. So the first, I think there's a couple of mods out there now, but probably the first one comes from Syntax Era 90. A good friend of ours, he's now on the mod team. This mod is called BB Code Buttons for 3.0.6 Quick Reply. It's a pretty nice mod. It does essentially the way. David, you are tapping a lot.
Yeah, sorry.
there is a screenshot here, and it essentially adds a line of the BB Code buttons right above the text box. It does support custom BB Code buttons as well. And so, of course, if you ask the PHPBB teams, they think that if you do not know BB code, you probably would be better using the full editor. But this actually does not make the quick reply look too much more cluttered, just adds an extra row. Of course, there were plenty of people in the topics then saying, could you please put smileys there too? And we will see. But this essentially has, you know, the normal bold, italic, underline, quote, code, lists, image, flash, the text size drop down, and of course font color. So you have a couple of options there. If you, and of course custom BB codes will show up as well. So
yeah, there's two rules of thought, and I'll just cover this real quick. And one is that, you know, well, if you have to list that stuff, then why not go to the full editor? You know, because that you have color and full BB code and smileys and, you know, all this stuff there. But if you and then another is, well, you know, I don't want to have to load up a whole new page to do that stuff. Then that's why that's on the quick reply.
I do like, though, that I mean, it will probably, I don't know if it probably doesn't impact your load as that much. What I will say, though, I do like how there is a button to go to the full editor. So if you start something in the quick reply and you decide you do want the full editor, say to be able to, you know, view a post preview, or or modify your signature settings or this or that, you can easily transfer it over to the full editor. So I'm glad that they do have that in as a default. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, BB Code Buttons for 3.0.6 Quick Reply by Syntax Error 90. It is the mod, the first mod of the week of the decade in our fourth season mod of the week.
It's also known as Sam T, I believe.
Sam T, yeah. But there you go. Our style of the week, the first style of the week for 2010, is Frozen Phoenix by Mighty Gorgon. This is a newer theme release. It's great for the middle of winter.
Link?
Link. Good idea. You have the show notes, David, but for anyone else.
Yes, I do. But there
Link,
we go.
Link. Okay. Link. There you
Mighty
go.
Mighty Gorgon does some pretty fine styles.
This is, it's not too much different than the default Okay, it's based on the default Pro Silver, obviously. However, the colors and some of the have been changed a bit. The and sort of the background, the headers for the different forms have been changed to give it more of a gradient, sort of snowy, icy type of feel. Kind of pops out at you a little bit, which is pretty nice. Also, some customized icons, so it's not using the default Pro Silver icons. So the only reason you can tell it's Pro Silver is because, David, you and I know a lot about what Pro Silver looks like.
And also the fact that 90% of styles created for PHP 3 are based on Pro Silver. Let's see. Style. So yeah, this style definitely makes you feel a little cold.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm not. Which is a good thing. I'm still in bed. Wi-Fi for the win.
Yeah. So it's a like a snowy, icy sort of thing.
And it is fixed width, but you know it's a pretty nice style. Not too fancy. Lighter style. But there you go. If you want to give yourself a little winter chill for the month of January and February, go ahead and download Frozen Phoenix by Mighty Gorgon.
A click. The do not drag, the button marked download.
I will see. All right, now for the moment you've all been waiting for. If we are going to do the premiere, speaking of ice and snow, the premiere of the new episode from Scoff News. This is going to be showing, for those of you who are listening live, this is a video. So if you have the Ustream player, you actually now need to look at it. And of course, we'll have a link for the high quality version going up on YouTube later today. Here it is, the world premiere of our newest Scoff News report.
Welcome to the Scoff Evening News. Reporting from Scoff News headquarters in Washington, here's your host, Handyman.
Good evening, I'm Handyman reporting live from Scoff News headquarters in Washington. We have some breaking news to report on some unseasonably snowy conditions hitting the region. For a report on the weather, we'll send it down to Alfalfa in the field. Al?
G'day mates, this is Alfalfa reporting in the field for Scoff News. Welcome to Honolulu, Hawaii, where we've got beautiful sunny skies under 83 degrees.
It's snowing.
This week calls for temperatures ranging in the 70s and 80s with the occasional afternoon shower.
Whoa, stop the feed. Wrong feed. Sorry about that. That was our weather report for Hawaii. We're looking for the one from Washington. Do we have that feed ready?
Oh, dear.
Okay, good. Roll it.
Good day, mate. This is Alfalfa reporting in the field for Scoff News. It's 31 degrees out here and snowing. An early November snowfall has signaled the end of global warming for the summer for the area.
November.
The National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory with up to 3 inches accumulations, making travel difficult in the area. I'm Alfalfa reporting from the snow-covered field for Scoff News. Back to you, Bob.
Thank you, Al, and don't call me Bob. Tonight we have a special report coming from our correspondent, Marv Ellis, with an expert analysis of our snow conditions. Marv?
This is Marv Ellis for Scoff News, and as you can see, we're getting an accumulation of some snow right here. And if you take a look at the granules, you see that they compact into a very nice snowball. That's
right.
Boy. This is great snowball snow. This is going to be excellent for snowballing. This is going to be excellent for just about any type of snow activity. Driving, skiing, snow sledding, snow walking, falling in the snow, any type of snow activity that you'd like to do, this snow is going to be excellent for it. We're not quite there on the accumulation yet. We need a little bit more before we can really do some good, you know, falling in the snow, kind of like this. So just hang loose a bit. It's coming.
That's
and
professional.
This is Marv Ellis reporting for Scoff News.
Thank you, Marv. Well, Scoff News will keep you updated as conditions continue to improve throughout the region.
Improve?
Well, that's our report for tonight. I'm Handyman. For all of us here at Scoff News, good night.
Scoffing until you drop, right? Scoff to your drop. Written by Grange, directed, produced, and choreographed and funded by Bertie Zilla, huh? No cameramen were hit by snowballs in the making of
the film. Now, David, we know from experience that Scoff News is usually quite a bit delayed, because apparently you were reporting on a late November snowfall.
early November snowfall, that's...
And it's now what month of the year?
It was, actually. That was filmed in November. But there was a couple segments that the audio was really bad on, and we kind of thought about overdubbing it, but we're like, no, we'll just wait for another snowstorm, because being here in Washington.
Remember, you guys reported on the election results from the original Bernie Mott presidential election a month and a half late.
Yes.
At least the front didn't fall off. Thank you, KNSP, in the chat room.
Scoff News isn't exactly late breaking news.
Actually, I'll make the announcement today. There will be another Bernie Mons contest happening in 2010. Probably not till about October. But, you know, 2010 is midterm season, right?
Right.
That's right. So we have. That means, however, the term of President Albert Einstein does not expire until 2012. So Albert Einstein will not be qualified to participate this time around, because he's still president.
Right.
But
I have to have Bertie senators.
No, we have to elect Bertie's senator to the Intergalactic Senate.
Right, there you go.
That's what it'll be.
Intergalactic Senate.
It's got to be one winner, so maybe we'll give him a. Along with the prize will be a free trip to Coruscant, I guess. Oh, wait, wrong space age movie.
Where you can meet the Emperor yourself.
There you go. There is another, so, Scoff News. You guys got to do more of those. It's like, who would have thought? Bad enough that we have 3 years of PHP BB Weekly, but PHP BB Weekly actually has its own spinoff. Who would have thought? Well, we have one other little big announcement. We have a special guest joining us next week. This was just confirmed last night, which is why it has not been previously announced. Next week, we will be joined by Russ Jackson. He is the administrator, chief energy, I don't know what his title is, but he is from StopForumSpam.com. We've had a lot of people recommending StopForumSpam as a great service to be able to take advantage of in order to help weed out people who spam on forums. And so they're going to be joining us next week. We'll talk a bit about how StopForumSpam.com works. And also a little bit about forum spammers in general, and some best practices to try to avoid being hit or plagued or bogged down by these little parasites.
Yeah, highly recommend listening to that episode. It's going to be fantastic, of course.
Yeah,
Stop Forum Spam, extremely, you know, that service is incredible. And we use it a lot on Star Trek Guide, and we'll actually be utilizing it in a more automatic fashion. In the future with a custom-built mod. But
it'd be great. And if you're also wanting to mark your calendars, the following Saturday, January 16th, we'll be talking about the topic that we were previously planning for next week. We're going to be looking through the discussion forum. If you hadn't seen, about 2 weeks ago, PHPBB4, Rhea, got its own discussion forum on Area 51 to try to get user input on PHPBB4, things that should be in there, ideas. And, you know, kind of interesting to actually, you know, be able to get some feedback from the PHPBB community at large on what will be coming in the next major rewrite of PHPBB. So that'll be on January 16th. We're going to be dedicating the show toward talking about Rhea. We might even see if we can try, perhaps, to get a developer on the show. We are going to attempt that.
Nils Naderman, that has definitely said that he would be interested in coming onto the show. So,
all right, that's it.
Trick would be to just make sure we find a Saturday where he is available to do that.
So tentatively the 16th, we might change that around a bit. But, of course, you can find plans for all of our upcoming episodes that we have scheduled on our new website. On the homepage, we're going to be keeping up to date with the upcoming 4 episodes from now on. So you'll be able to mark your planners, know when to actually show up live for an episode. It should be pretty good.
I've wondered about doing some offline interviews, because I know not everybody that I've wanted to interview is available on Saturdays. So I wonder.
We did Laurel offline because she couldn't come on a Saturday.
Right. Yeah.
Now I'm actually getting the people that we said we're going to say we need more Laurel on the show.
That's going to become our official chant, you know. More Laurel Van Fossen. We'll do our own Dave Letterman version of it. Lauren Van Fossen did not call.
I don't quite get the joke.
You know, you remember the Dave Oprah thing, you know? It ain't Oprah till it's Oprah. And he was always, Oprah did not call. And people started putting up billboards, Oprah called Dave. Remember that?
No.
Oh, man. Okay, well, you weren't the late nighter. Well, basically, every single night on his late night show, he'd do a, you know, he'd pull out his Oprah, handbook, and it was like, every day number, whatever, 121, Oprah did not call. And so every single night he would, he was always waiting for the call from Oprah so that she would come onto the show. So it was quite funny.
Ah, well. Check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, for show notes, the links to stuff we talked about on this show, all of our other shows as well. And, of course, join us live next Saturday and every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1800 UTC time, on our homepage to join in live. Also, our forum at StarTrekGuide.com, where the conversation continues. That's what we have. And we need, David, I think it's probably time. We need to start getting a website for SCOFF going, because...
A website.
Yeah, yeah.
We can barely maintain a forum. It doesn't deserve a website yet.
You barely maintain your own videos.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks for listening. I'm Douglas Bell.
And I'm David Lewis.
Remember, a successful community begins with you, Ted.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Belated. Have a great 2010, and see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.